the Lord, and to seek him in his temple. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon the cross. And my head will be exalted above the enemies who look on me. At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, friends, as it was in the beginning.
Never fails to guide and govern those whom you have nurtured in your steadfast love and worship. Make us ever revere and adore your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Ghost, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Old Testament for the fifth Sunday after Pentecost is the prophet Jeremiah, the 20th chapter, reading from the 7th verse. O Lord, you deceived me, and I was deceived. You overpowered me and prevailed. I am ridiculed all day long. Everyone mocks me. Whenever I speak, I cry out, proclaiming violence and destruction. So the word of the Lord has brought me insult and reproach all day long. But if I say, I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. I hear many whispering terror on every side. Report him. Let's report him. All my friends are waiting for me to slip, saying, perhaps he will be deceived. Then we will prevail over him and take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior, so my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. They will fail and be thoroughly disgraced. Their dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord Almighty, you who examine the righteous and probe the heart and mind, let me see your vengeance upon them. For to you I have committed my cause. Sing to the Lord. Give praise to the Lord. He rescues the life of the needy from the hands of the wicked. Here ends the Old Testament. The epistle is the letter to the Romans, the 5th chapter, reading from the 12th verse. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men, because all sinned. For before the law was given, sin was in the world. But sin is not taken into account where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who was a pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Here ends the epistle.
Holy Gospel is found in the Evangelist St. Matthew, the 10th chapter, read from the 24th verse. Jesus says, a student is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the student to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? So do not be afraid of them. There's nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? You, yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You're worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. Here ends the gospel.
Let us now confess our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed on page 12 in the front of the hymnal.
I believe in God, Father Almighty, and in the heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, who was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you.
The text is the gospel reading from St. Matthew chapter 10, 24 to 33. When a kid is excited to let you know something, you often have to say, wait, start at the beginning. Well, there are some things best understood by starting from the end. This text is one of them. That last paragraph is where Christians face what they're ultimately afraid of, denying Christ before men. How easy this is to do. How useful this is to do. But denying Jesus before men today means being denied before the Father in heaven forever. And fear is the key to that in this text. There are plenty of reasons for Christians to be afraid. If they call the head of the house Lord of Demons, what do you think they're going to call all they find, if what they think, what do you think they're going to call you if they find out you live in his house? A 2017 blog of mine references those yard signs confessing civil religion. You do realize, by implication, they believe our kind of Christianity, Bible-believing historic conservative, believes health care is for the rich only, black lives don't matter, women don't have rights, some humans are illegal, and science isn't real. History documents that Christ's disciples were called imposters, odor of the human race, and athoi, without God, was used as a synonym for Christian. This is the college kid who gets a summer job at a logging camp. On return, his pastor asked him, what did those lumberjacks say when they found out you were a Christian? Oh, replied the young man, they never found out. Ouch. Really? What about Hebrews 12:4? Nanny, nanny, boo-booing you for your whining because you have not yet confessed to the point of shedding your blood. What about 1 Peter 4 doing the same thing for your considering the fiery trial you're undergoing and something strange happening to you? It is now debated whether the girl at Columbine was asked if she believed in God, was shot and killed, or shot and survived. But what would you answer when staring down the barrel of a gun? Bang! If you don't deny. Damnation, if you do. Or what if a COVID-19 vaccine is kept from those of us violating the civil rights of women by opposing abortion and not ordaining them, of the LGBTQ crowd for not marrying them, and for calling homosexuality sin? Will we confess out there what we do in here? Will the Bible passages we pitch back and forth in the liturgy from mouth to ear, like the one that denies evolution is true, our help is in the name of the Lord who created heaven and earth. Will we dare shout that from the rooftops? Dare we be the baby chick dyed in Easter color, knowing that we're going to be placed back among the yellow chicks and we're going to be pecked to death for believing such unscientific things as a virgin conceived and became the mother of God, that a man is God, that sins can't be paid for by men or just forgotten by God, that sex outside of marriage is damnable sin, and that the devil is real and guilt can be ignored but never escaped? There are plenty of reasons to fear. There are better reasons not to, says Jesus. Three times Jesus says, don't be afraid. And he gives the reason each time for not being afraid, but he doesn't say it the same way. First, he says, don't even begin to be afraid. Don't go there. That's what we would say. Or don't even start. Stop the horse of fear from galloping off with you by jumping from it. God's truth is going to be vindicated. It is going to be unveiled in the end that you were no fool for believing that God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, that God became man to live the holy life you needed to and to die the guilty death you deserved to. Once you start being afraid of confessing what God has clearly said in his word, it's Merle Haggard's snowball rolling downhill headed for hell. Once you've been really spooked by something, you're on the edge thereafter. Don't even start, says Jesus. The next don't be afraid is present active imperative. It means you can stop being afraid now, today. Every other place in Matthew, the use of soul refers to the entire person. Like us saying, 150 souls perished in that plane crash. But here, it's unique because Jesus makes a distinction between body and soul. Liberal Christianity says the immortality of the soul is a doctrine that we got from paganism, Plato, or Eastern religions. No, we got it from Jesus. Jesus says you can stop being afraid right now because while COVID-19, crime, age, weather, or accident can indeed kill your body, they can't kill your immortal soul. St. Ambrose said, we do not fear him who can carry off our clothing. We do not fear him who can steal our property, but cannot steal us. But what about Jesus saying, Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell? Yes, what about that? It's like the story of the ancient physician who wants to stop a man from drunkenness. He brings that man a clay cup and tells him, you can drink as much as you want from this cup every day, but only from this cup. Weeks go by, the man goes on drinking. The physician comes, takes that cup and smashes it. Here, Jesus says, rather than fear men, devil, or death, fear God alone. And then he ends the paragraph, don't be afraid. You're worth more than many sparrows to God. The cup is smashed. The one thing you are to fear, he says, fear not. This fear not is also present active imperative, and that's a policy command. You are to make it your ongoing policy not to be afraid. You're never going to be abandoned by God in Christ. Jesus mentions the cheapness of sparrows and says, yet not one of them falls to the ground without their heavenly Father's knowledge and consent. There's a rabbinic legend that could date from after the time of Christ that relates how a rabbi had hidden in a cave from his persecutors for 13 years. One day he observed that when a bird catcher laid his snare, they escaped or not, according to a voice from heaven saying, mercy or destruction. He reasoned that if even a sparrow can't be caught without heaven's bidding, how much more safe was the life of a man? Jesus reasons God numbers your hairs, not a sparrow's feathers, and you're worth far more than a sparrow to him. His only son was not sent to take on the flesh and blood of a bird. He didn't suffer, bleed, damn, and die for the sins of birds. You are worth more to the Father than the life of his only son. So your policy can be, never be afraid. Now we're back to the end. All the reasons to be afraid have to do with remaining in Christ. Left to myself, I won't. I will most certainly deny like Peter did when persecuted by a young girl asking questions. Like Judas, I will betray Jesus, not for the world, but for just a few pieces of it. Like Paul, I will think persecuting those who follow Jesus is serving God. These are my great fears, and the only remedy is to be in Christ. Paul mentions being in Christ 153 times. So are you in or out? Baptized into not just the Father and the Holy Ghost, but into the Son. Absolved in Jesus' name. Bodied and blooded to Jesus. Christian, are you in or are you out? The concept of being in is there in Jesus' last words of this text. Only Young's literal translation, however, keeps the in that the Greek has. Jesus says, whoever confesses in me before the people, I will confess in him before my Father in heaven. This construction conveys the idea of confessing Christ out of a oneness with him. There's an identification of the confessor with the confessed. This is not a mere formal verbal acknowledgement. Now, this was seen by none other than Chrysostom in his homilies on Matthew dating from 386 AD. He's a native Greek speaker. He saw that the in connected with confessing Christ and the lack of the in connected to denying Jesus meant that a person confessed by the power of God's grace in Christ, where the person denies him by his own power. The tiny dancer in Elton John laughs at the Jesus freaks handing tickets out for God. Jesus in us should freak us out in a good way, a powerful way, a fearless way. But we have to back up a little. You realize where all of this ends? It is the profoundest of statements to say that what you think of the man Jesus, not God Almighty, not the God that most everyone will let you talk about, not the God far away in heaven or within the walls of this church or your private little life, but what do you think of this guy, the man Jesus, out here in the world, is all that matters. Is he true God begotten from eternity and true man born of the Virgin Mary or not? I hope you confirm Lutherans recognize this from our confession of what the second article of the Apostles' Creed means. Because in that first paragraph, we answer this question that has eternal consequences and therefore ramifications for every single day of your life, and particularly your death. We say, I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, and here's where it all comes together, is my Lord. This man, Jesus, who is mocked openly in society today. This man, Jesus, who is denied to be God in any sense. This man, Jesus, who is nothing more than a first century Jew to liberal Christianity, is my Lord. He's the one I bow before. He's the one I worship and adore, whether he comes to me in the waters of baptism, in the words of absolution, or into me in his body that he gives to me as bread, and in his blood that he gives to me as wine. With Thomas, we say of this man, my Lord and my God. The problem with the end of our text is that you hear it as all imperatives. Kind of like the Who song, you better, you better, you bet. You better, you better, you bet be confessing me before men amidst COVID-19, amidst civil unrest, amidst political upheaval and personal problems. It's all on you. You're all alone with whatever faith you have or don't. You're all alone with whatever resolve you have or don't. You're all alone with whatever positive feelings you have or don't. No, 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 1,000 times no. First, there are no imperatives in that last paragraph. Second, go read Colossians 1. The hope of your eternal glory is not a vaccine for COVID-19, not an end to racism, not giving peace a chance, or a tiny little dancer named hope, courage, or love tiptoeing around in you. Paul says the hope of glory is Christ in you. I'm telling you that God's mighty miracles, baptism, absolution, and communion, might make Christ in you a reality, a certainty. End of story from the beginning. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. People remembering in our prayers are listed in your bulletin. After praying the litany on page 661, which is the prayer of the church, is Luther's version of it, but it predates Luther. For centuries, during times of special tragedy or disaster or upheaval, after praying the litany on page 661, we'll have a special collect for the 4th of July and for Bill Inman, who was diagnosed with COVID-19 on Tuesday. And we'll remember Chuck Runkle, who's had beginning treatment for prostate cancer. All invited to kneel for the litany on page 661. Let us pray. O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy
on us. O Lord,
have mercy
on us. O Christ,
forgive
us. O God the Father in heaven,
have mercy
on us. O God the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy
on us. O God the Holy Ghost,
have mercy
on
us.
Be gracious unto us.
Share us,
Lord. Be gracious unto us.
Now us, Lord.
From all sin, from all error, from all evil. From the craft and the assault of the devil, from sudden and evil death, from pestilence and famine, from war and bloodshed, from sedition and rebellion, from lightning and tempest, from all calamity, by fire and water, and from everlasting death. By the mystery of thy holy incarnation, by thy holy nativity, by thy baptism, fasting, and temptation, by thy agony and blood and sweat, by thy cross and passion, by thy crushing death and burial, by thy glorious resurrection and ascension, and by the coming of the Holy Ghost, the Comforter. In all time of our tribulation, in all time of our prosperity, the hour of death, in the day of judgment. Lead poor sinners to receive thee.
Lord God.
To rule and govern thy holy Christian church, preserve all pastors and ministers of thy church in truth, knowledge, and understanding of thy word and in holiness of life. To put an end to all systems and causes of offense, to bring into the way of truth all such as have erred and are deceived. To beat down Satan under our feet, to send faithful laborers into thy harvest, to accompany thy word with thy spirit and grace, to raise up them that fall into strength in such as you stand, to comfort and help the weak hearted and the distressed. To give all nations peace and concord, to preserve our country from discord and contention, to give to our nation perpetual victory over all its enemies, to direct and defend our president and all in authority, and to bless and keep our magistrates and all our people. To behold and succor all who are in danger, necessity, and tribulation, to protect all who travel by land, water, or air, to preserve all women in the perils of childbirth, to strengthen and keep all sick persons and young children, to set free all who are innocently imprisoned, to defend and provide for all fatherless children and widows, to have mercy upon all men. To give our enemies, persecutors, and slanderers, and to turn their hearts, to give and preserve for our use the fruits of the earth, and graciously to hear our prayer. O Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, O Lamb of God, who takest away the sin of the world,
have mercy upon us.
O Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world,
have mercy upon us.
O Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, O Christ,
hear us.
O Lord,
have mercy upon us.
O Christ,
have mercy upon us.
Lord, have mercy upon us. Amen. And bless our land, O Lord, with honest industry, truthful education, and an honorable way of life. Support us in defending our liberty, and give those to whom we have entrusted the authority of government wisdom to protect the innocent and punish the guilty. Lord, in your mercy. And as thy mercies are new every morning, because of what Jesus suffered in the dark night of our sin, so we are bold to ask for thy blessings upon Bill's and Chuck's treatment. May these be to thy glory and their temple of eternal well-being. Lord, in thy mercy. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
All may be seated for the offering. We are not passing the plate. Would you like to get up and take your offering to go back on the right table? There's an offering plate there. If not, you're welcome to put in an offering on your way out the door.
Thank you. And this time we had the installation for 2022 officer. And I'll call the names who come forward. Some of these people are not able to be here because of sickness. Some cannot be around because of their health condition. Can't be around once they do somebody tested positive in our district. Couldn't be here. But put people in office legally in our hearings is the election. This is done for the people of God, that we have to take the vote before God in us. And so we will install the other folks at another time. So if they call your name, please come forward and please call this line down here. We elect the following: a treasurer, Bart Goddard, elders, James Resto, Derek Kirk, Buddy Lutuski, Mark Young, Rick Stricker, Mark Goddard, and trustee, Jim Lesko, chair, Scott Wall, Chad Kirk, Chad Rooney, and social activities, Mark Young and Derek Kirk. The loving of the Lord, Holy Scripture admonishes us that all things should be done decently and in order. To that end, the Constitution and bylaws of this congregation establish various offices which men are elected to serve. In so doing, the church follows the example of the early Christian churches described in Acts chapter 6. The 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It's not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve faith. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." These men have been elected to serve as treasurer, elders, trustees, and social activities. You have been chosen to fill specific offices and positions of responsibility at Trinity. You are to work with me in our life together in Christ and orderly and pleasing in His sight. You are to see that the services of God's house are held at the proper time, that the Word of God is clearly preached and taught according to the Lutheran confessions, the sacraments of Christ are ministered according to His holy institution, that provision is made for the Christian instruction of young and old, that the erring are admonished and that discipline is maintained. You are to see that the temporal affairs of the congregation are properly administered, and that proper support is provided for the workers of this congregation. You are to assist in caring for the poor and the sick, in cultivating harmony among the members, in promoting the general welfare of the congregation, and in furthering the kingdom of Christ here and throughout the world. While holiness of life and obedience to Christ are expected of all members of the church, it is especially important that you, as office bearers in the church, show yourselves by word and example to be faithful to community service and Christian devotion. In the presence of God and of this congregation, I therefore ask you, you accepting the offices entrusted to you, and you promise faithfully to carry your duties out, trusting the Lord, and conforming yourself to His word in accordance with the faith of the Evangelical Lutheran Church? If so, then answer, I do. Beloved in the Lord, you have heard, and I'll speak to the congregation. Beloved in the Lord, you have heard the promises of faithfulness spoken by these men whom you have selected to serve as officers of Trinity. Do you promise to support them in their work, to remember them in your prayer, and to work with them to the best of the abilities that God has given you, so that He may be glorified in His work being done in our midst? If so, then answer, we do. Brothers in Christ, I install you as officers of Trinity Lutheran Church, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Almighty and most merciful God in light and strengthen you in your offices, that you may be good and faithful stewards for the glory of His name and the good of His people. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give thanks you have raised up these servants for work among your people. We humbly implore you to grant them by your Holy Spirit those gifts needed for the faithful carrying out of their task, most especially wisdom, strength, and willing hearts. Let your blessings rest on this congregation, strengthen the faith, quicken the love, and enkindle the zeal of its members that your name may be glorified, and that here and in all places under heaven the kingdom of your Son may be advanced. We remember with thanksgiving those who have faithfully served your people and have now completed their time of service. We pray that in the end of days, we with all your faithful people may hear the voice of Christ saying, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Go in the name of the Lord, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. The Almighty and most merciful God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you. Amen. You return to your seat. At this time, I draw attention to our communion statement in the bulletin. We welcome all of you to our celebration of Holy Communion this morning. Because of the sad divisions that exist in Christianity today, we can't invite all of you to the Lord's table. Trinity practices closed communion, which means we commune active members of Trinity. Those guests have been invited to commune prior to the service. If you are a guest that have not spoken with me before, please do not come forward and receive communion. You'll notice that we do have stripes on the floor. We're trying to keep the proper distance between not family members, but between different people who are unrelated or they're not mixing with each other, both in line and up here at the altar, also between each table. I'm wiping the communion rail down with a vinegar and water solution. And finally, we are again using the common cup. If you normally use it but don't feel comfortable, do not worry about it. Just let it pass and take from the individual cup. And if the elder somehow misses because he's not paying attention, don't be embarrassed about saying stop. I will try to pay attention and make sure it backs up. But if you don't feel comfortable, there's no need for you to take the blood of Christ and the common cup. It's the same blood in the cup as in the little glass. We continue now with the communion liturgy on page 24. Please stand. The Lord be with you. And give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, kingdom come, thy will be done. day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which you had betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup of the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. The grace of Lord Jesus Christ be with you and also with you. The grace of Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Thank you. This is the true body of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and unto death for all your sins. Thank you. This is the true body of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. The body of Christ given for your sins. Take, drink. This is the true blood of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all of your sins. Take, drink. This is the true blood of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all of your sins. Take, drink. This is the true blood of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all of your sins. Take, drink. This is the blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all of your sins. The blood of Christ shed for your sins. May this body and this blood strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. Grace for Jesus Christ and with you. They keep this the true body, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. They keep this the true body, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Body of Christ given for your sins. Take drink, this is the true blood, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Shed for the remission of all your sins. And drink the true blood, your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Shed for the remission of all your sins. And drink the true blood, your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Shed for the remission of all your sins. And drink the true blood, your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Shed for the remission of all your sins. The blood of Christ. Shed for your sins. May this body and this blood strengthen and preserve you in the true faith and the life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Thank you.
body of Christ, given for your sin, body of Christ, given for your sin. Hey, drink this new blood of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Hey, drink this new blood of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for remission of all your sins.
Thank you.
be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. We give thanks to the Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. We beseech thee that of thy mercy thou would strengthen us through the same in faith towards thee and in fervent love towards one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The Lord be with you.
Thanks be to God.
Lord, bless thee and keep thee. Lord, make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Lord, lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Before Daniel begins Wednesday, 7:15, pay attention to the flower announcement, meaning if you have flowers, it's up to you to bring them and to tell us that you're bringing them so we can put your thing in the bulletin. If it's not important to you, it's in the bulletin. The only thing we don't want is have two people bringing flowers at the same time. Liz Landry is now the contact point for all church secretary business, she will be able to have access. Her phone number is in the directory, but also she can access her email, the church email from phone. Finally, you know, the governor has issued that new mask order. Churches are specifically exempted from that order. Paragraph 9 strongly encourages you to wear them. And it would be, if you wanted to wear a mask here, nobody would discourage you or tell you you can't do it. Number two, I couldn't conduct a service, a public service like this in a mass, but in private, a private communion, I surely can. I've done that hundreds of times, literally in hospitals I told somebody I didn't have gloves. I do have gloves from the crawfish boil. So if you want private communion and me to be have a mask on and in gloves, let me know. I'd be happy to do that. Thank you.